invite so many. Invite them. We look here at having a vision, understanding what a vision is. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here. We thank you for your love and for your grace. Lord, I pray that you would preserve the words to say. I pray for the anointing of your Spirit. I pray that you would open our hearts and open our eyes and our ears to hear. And then, Lord, I pray that you would give to us your vision. May today a vision be born in our hearts that comes from you. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. The verses we just read, open your Bibles to Nehemiah.
His football mic is off.
Right before the psalm.
You didn't turn it on. I can use the red mic.
The Bible, and before that, of course, Job, Esther, and then the book of Nehemiah before that. And Nehemiah, you know the history of thank you very much. You know the Israel had divided into two countries. The northern kingdom was taken captive by the Assyrians in 722 BC. And because there was no good king. All the kings were wicked in the north. And, they, because of their disobedience, rebellion against God, they were scattered and taken captive by the Assyrians. You think the southern kingdom would have learned from the northern kingdom, but they did not. Yes, they had some good kings. Some kings had called upon the people to revive and turn to God. But in 586 B.C., the Babylonians took the southern kingdom. And after that happened, we see three times that the people returned after being taken captive. They returned to Jerusalem, returned to Israel. And the first time was under Zerubbabel. The second time was under Ezra, which is the book before Nehemiah. And the third time they returned here is under Nehemiah. And so we want you to think about this first of all. What is a vision? Helen Keller, many of you have heard of her. She was a wonderful Christian lady. But Helen Keller was born without sight. She was blind. And she said this, the only thing worse than having no sight is to have sight, but no vision. Think about that. To have sight, to be able to see. Sorry about that. Have sight to be able to see. Hope you're awake now. Have sight to be able to see, but not to see from God's eyes, from God's perspective, how God sees things. And have a vision. Nehemiah was a regular guy. He was not a king, he was not a priest, he was not a prophet who had a divine vision from God of what could be and what should be. Nehemiah's name means Yahweh or Jehovah, the Lord has comforted. So with the vision that God gave to Nehemiah, comforted his heart, he was able to bring comfort to others through that vision. So we want to look at this vision, how a vision is born, and ask God to born to give birth to a vision in our hearts. Well, first of all, we read here in Nehemiah chapter 1, the first three verses, about the Jewish remnant and about Jerusalem, what's going on. You know, there's some good news and some bad news. Anybody ever say that to you? That's some good news and some bad news. What do you want to hear first? Well, the good news is simply that the Jew had returned to Jerusalem, and they were surviving, barely surviving. They were survivors. They were alive. That's the good news. But the bad news is that they were in great trouble. His brother told him that they were in great trouble, that they were disgraced. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates have been burned with fire. They were burned with fire, and they were not thriving at all, and in great trouble. And so that which was bad was now even it's worse. So you hear this bad news. What the situation is there? What's going on? In our lives, many times we see or we hear bad news. Things are not what should be. And so, how do we respond to that? When we hear that news, that bad news, how do we respond to that? Well, the response to the bad news, there are different responses to a situation. Now, there are some people who might respond with, oh, so what? Ask me if I care. I don't care. Indifferent. And many people, that is a response. They could care less. When they see a situation that's not good, whether it be our country or whatever it might be, so what? They could care less. And then there are those who would say, well, what about me? I care a little, but I have my own problems. I have my own difficulties. Don't bother me. I have other concerns. All right? Many people are like that. I care a little bit about it, but I'm more concerned about other things. Or the third response, what can I do? I care. I want to do something about it. I'm concerned. I have a burden. What can I do? And that was Nehemiah's response. You have many different responses, many different people, but that's Nehemiah's response. When he heard this is his response. And so a vision is born. How is that vision born? Well, where does a vision come from? And how does it grow? Well, a vision begins as a burden, a concern for others. It gets your attention to think about it.
That's purple receiver.
I want you to see the response here, Nehemiah, when he heard this news from his brother, verse 4 of Nehemiah chapter 1. When I heard these things,
it's a lot of interference.
So what? I can care less. Or
it just
I'm a little bit concerned about it, but I have my own concerns. What did he do? Sat down. He thought about it.
This one can be closed.
He gave thought about this.
Oh, it's not that one. We don't know where the interference is.
So the burden.
It could be that device.
God lays upon our hearts the burden that we are concerned about this thing, and that burden it grows. And then we see that this vision also breaks your heart. Feelings are moved by God. So we see here Nehemiah, next thing he did is he wept. If he thought about, you read in the Psalm, if he thought about the glory of Jerusalem, if he thought about what Jerusalem was at one time, the temple of Jerusalem, and he thought about that, and what it is now, he wept. He wept. He was broken in his heart. A vision has to break our hearts. And it comes from God. And then as he wept, God gave him this vision. And we see what happens next. His next response is he turns to God and prayer. You see, a vision waits upon God. We may get a vision. God begins to open our eyes about something. And we get a vision about that, and our heart's broken. And we have a burden about it. And we're ready to go tomorrow. I'm ready now. I want to do something about this. We want to change now. But a vision waits upon God. It requires patience. Here I am, Lord. Send me. What would you have me to do? It's looking for God's timing. So we see he mourned here. For some days I mourned. He wept. He was so burdened about it. And then we see also that he not only mourned, but he fasted and he prayed. There are in the book of Nehemiah 12 prayers recorded of Nehemiah. So we see that he was a man of prayer. And so he called upon the Lord in prayer. And fasting is just a matter that we're so burdened about something that our focus, for meal or for day, whatever God lays upon our hearts, we don't eat. And so that's our focus. So, look at his prayer here, starting in verse 5. Begins with adoration. He begins his prayer as he praises God. Verses 5 here. Lord, the God of heaven. Remember our study of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven. Lord, the God of heaven. Then his praise to God, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who have loved him and keeps his commandments. Here we see his giving his praise to God. You're the great God. You're the awesome God. There's nothing that you cannot do. And so our prayer needs to begin with this. Our focus is on God. As he gives us this vision, we see what God wants to do. We see the greatness of God. But then it goes beyond that. It goes to confession. Starting here, verse 6, the last part of verse 6. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you today. Day and night for your servants, the people of Israel, I confess the sins, we Israelites. Now, he didn't stop there. Now, it's easy to say that. Confess the sins of our country, our nation, America. We are in a mess today because of the sins of our country, the sins of this nation, America, the sins of Israel. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and says, including myself and my father's family have committed against you. So he, in his confession, he included his own sins, my sins, the sins of my father's family. And, you know, when you confess sin, you don't just kind of just sweep it under, you don't just kind of gloss over it. It was a mistake. No, it was sin. And look what he says about this sin. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have done great wickedness. Our sin is wicked. And we have not obeyed the commandments, the decrees, the law you have given your servant Moses. It was a specific confession. We have done wicked things. There is great wickedness. And we have disobeyed you. And so he confesses the sin here. And then he calls upon God in his petitions. And I want you to take note of this. And praying to God, he claims God's word. He prays God's word. He prays God's promises. Remember your word to Moses. Now this is a good for us to pray. We take the scripture and turn it into prayers to God. Remember your word, Lord, that you gave to us. And so he takes the word of God. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you from among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if you are exiled people, you're scattered abroad to the furthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. So he prayed this promise. Remember your word to Moses. And this, of course, comes from Leviticus. I will scatter you among the nations. I will draw out my sword and pursue you. Your land will be laid waste. And your cities will lie in ruins. And then he also prayed the same words we see in Deuteronomy. And when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart, with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors. Take possession of it. He will make you prosperous and numerous more than your ancestors. So he prayed this, the word of God. He prayed back the words here in Leviticus, the words here in Deuteronomy. Lord, we turn back to you and we lay hold of your promise that you will restore us. So here we see his petition. Then I want you to notice what he asked here. He asked for an opportunity. In verse 11, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in you, revering your name. Give your servant success today. Give me an opportunity. You know, dreamers dream about things being different. If only things were different. Visionaries envision themselves making a difference. Now, everybody's heard of Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King in his famous speech, I Have a Dream. I have a dream. Have you ever heard that speech? The dream that he had for this country. Now, if you just express that dream about how things could be different, how things could change. But you got to realize that to have a vision goes beyond a dream. Seeing how you can make a difference. So he prayed. He prepared. Opportunity apart from preparation results in a missed opportunity. So he began to make preparations. He began to make plans as God revealed these things to him. Then the next thing he asked for is for favor with the king, Artaxerxes. And so he says here, and as he prayed, give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man, the king, Artaxerxes. I was cupbearer. Now, as cupbearer, you know, he can ask for a favor from the king, but he didn't use this as an excuse. I'm a cupbearer. What can I do? I'm just a cupbearer. He realized that God gave him an opportunity. A cupbearer means someone who's trusted. The king had to maybe sip the king's what he was going to drink to make sure there was no poison. So he had to be trusted. Perhaps he partakes of some of the food, tested the food before the king would eat it. He had to be trusted. He had to be a faithful man. He had to have good character. But as a cupbearer, there's also the opportunity oftentimes to give advice to the king, as the king would ask. servant. What do you think? There was that opportunity. And so he prayed to God to give him such an opportunity and to give him favor with the king. King Artaxerxes, you know, he could only come before the king if the king would have, you know, raised his scepter and allowed him to come. There were not many opportunities like that. He asked for favor. So, what can a cupbearer do? Well, he was in the right place at the right time. I'm reminded of Queen Esther, the story of Esther. What a wonderful story. You can read that also. God put her as the queen, right place at the right time. So Nehemiah, right place at the right time, the cupbearer to the king. And the cupbearer was an official, high rank. He served the drinks. Reminded of Proverbs 21:1. As God gave him the burden, he asked for favor. Perhaps he prayed this psalm of this proverb, 21:1. In the Lord's hand is the king's heart, is a stream of water that he channels toward all who please him. And so he prayed to the king, favor before the king, because the king's heart is in the Lord's hands. So as he did so, God gave him that opportunity. God gave him that favor before the king. And so we see here the birth of a vision. We're going to take a look at it and the weeks ahead, how God brought about that vision. God gave him a vision. And it's very important that we see then how God's going to bring about that vision, how God worked to bring that about. I'd like you to consider here, very important, what is God's vision for you? What is God's vision for you? And how to apply this to our lives? Very important. First of all, let me suggest to you that have a vision for different times of life. Joseph, as a boy, had a vision. God gave him a dream that he would rule over his brothers. He didn't understand it. He couldn't understand how this was going to happen. But he had that vision from God. He would rule one day over his brothers.
What do you need?
David, as a man, had a vision to be king.
Okay.
He was ordained. He was anointed by Samuel. Remember, even after that happened, he had that vision. He knew this was God's vision for him. Who was king? Saul.
So, the only way to extend that is to erase all the other partitions.
Several times,
so you have to copy all the data off, erase all those partitions.
David had the opportunity defragment your drive.
Is yours a hard drive or a solid state drive? Copy it. When did you buy this?
So, those Middle Ages, he still waited for God's vision to come to pass.
Yeah, I know. Then I think of that work.
Caleb.
He is a noble. Oh, I mean,
Caleb was an older man, had a vision. We could go ahead to the privilege of sharing this with our Evergreen group here, the church. Evergreen, I like that name. Reminds us to ever be green. Ever be green. Ever be green. And you know, Caleb, as an older man, he had a vision.
Take a while, so I don't want
to, as a young man, he had helped buy off the land. He had, with Joshua, encouraged the people to go up and take the land as God had promised to them. And then, after the years of wandering in the desert, only Joshua and Caleb survived that. And so, he said these words in Joshua chapter 14. Caleb said, "So here I am today, 85 years old." My father turned 83 today. 85 years old. Where's my rocking chair? I'm ready to sit down and rock. That, you know, that's to many people. That's, you know, I'm ready to retire. I'm ready to take it easy. But this is what Caleb said. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now, give me this hill country. God promised me that day. God gave me a vision, the hill country. Now we're here. Joshua, give me my my part of the land, the hill country. You yourself heard that then that the Amalekites were there, that their cities are large and fortified. Right? The enemy are still there in that hill country. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said. So whether you're young, you're in your middle ages, you're in your evergreen ages, whatever it might be, God has a vision for you.
The manufactured ephod is what has
so
the extra part.
We need to realize that's why God has a vision for us.
Okay.
I'd like to share with you a little bit of a true story. When
I'm not sure how to translate it.
God gave a vision to me going to Taiwan and China.
Yeah.
I really need to start back how that first began. You see, there was a woman by the name of Marian Faust. Marian Faust, 65 years of age, retired.
Oh, it is.
Okay. Her husband passed away a few years before that. So when she retired, birthed by God, had a vision to go to Taiwan and work with the children there.
No, that's
having Bible clubs with them.
Because
she told her friends, she told her family about that, and they all thought she was crazy.
So logically, what we would expect is sea driving in Zero.
You know, you're going to go to Taiwan.
But if they're flipped, then that's a problem. You have to be wiped and completely
65 years of age.
Before you.
She went to Taiwan. She couldn't speak a word of Chinese.
The other thing is,
she met a young boy.
Probably don't want that boy in Windows 10 because it's actually not a good experience. I've got to upgrade this to 10 and I downgraded it back to 7 because
told the Bible story.
And this
sure.
is a brand new computer. So.
Okay.
And then
the only reason I tried to upgrade is because
his father passed away. She adopted him as her son. And then the two of them
are you what
went
edition
to Canada,
of Windows?
The Bible College.
Windows 7.
Windows 7.
She graduated from Bible College age of 75.
Wow.
The oldest graduate there. 75 years old, she graduated from Bible College.
Well,
then the two of them went to Bob Jones University. They both got their master's there.
It's a bit complex.
And then God took them back to Taiwan. They started a church there, I don't. And then
the very
God
easy
made
way they got back to upgrade.
Starting a Bible college.
But let the upgrade fail at the time it reveals
so
the product. So you can reinstall, you can get a Windows 10 disk, put that product key in, and you'll be able to install Windows 10. But that's not an easy process.
See,
you know, it's very technical, I know. I'd have to have more time.
Even
okay.
At her age,
yeah, that's right. But
five,
it's possible. It's just
with
not
the vision
the most
that they shared to us, and God burned our hearts. Here, boy, after son,
he's a hard
man. Faust.
Yeah.
So we went to Taiwan.
So
taught
yeah,
in that Bible college.
Is you're gonna have to.
And
use
then later went to a village that had no church. Yobaltwin,
well, divide it in
no church there.
Because normally
you
start with C and then you
God
divide out
the
D drive. But
that.
This time you start with D and divide
see,
out a C drive.
Vision
and
comes
the problem
from
is
God.
D drive is not resistant
to
C drive is resistant to
I want you all to know this,
which I couldn't use.
You can save stuff.
Yes,
you can install programs.
Good idea.
Yeah, you can't. Because your system drive is a smaller one.
Really what God wants us to do. So we have to distinguish
remark,
between what's a good idea and a God idea.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You know, when it's a God idea, God does...
Normally, if C was here and D was here, I would reformat D and extend C to cover up D. But this is
church and Theobald. That's God did some miraculous things to bring about that church. I'll just share... one
there's
thing
two partitions
miraculous about that church. Went the first day,
this
C
should be 0, T should be 1. So they're flipped.
So it cannot erase and extend it. So it has
with the first day, the book, we're maybe find a place we could rent.
Because
we
the only logical way to extend 0 to 1 is not extend 1 back.
And first day didn't find anything.
And
then that night...
You could try erasing files to make enough space to
upgrade. I can't explain this,
but you still have this
dream.
The,
I believe God
gave
that dream. I saw two buildings side by side.
It's weird.
And the next morning went out, and on the main highway there,
you have to go through program by program to figure out if you need it or not. And you can erase it.
And so we called up the owner and asked him if we could rent those buildings.
Have installed that.
To make a long story short, that's where the church began.
Twinston.
There was two storefronts side by side. We end up
talking
about
the wall. I don't
know
which one you can install.
The church is there today after 32 years.
So
right across from
which
the,
one is not the system.
The airport there.
So you might read. God
gives
us
vision.
That's why
God does miraculous things to bring that about.
We can't just delete.
There's a story about Chris.
You have to
Chris was a young man in high school.
So that's the thing.
And Chris
go to
had
the
a burden to give the gospel to everyone in the school that he went to, Dunwoody High School. He had a burden to give them all the gospel of Jesus Christ.
But I don't know
he
how
told his pastor about this burden, vision he had. The pastor said, well,
Well, it's not talking about your hard drive.
Now, Chris,
it's talking about your RAM. You don't have enough RAM.
Chris
your
was not involved in any extra
memory.
Activity, you know, extra school activities.
Don't
he wasn't in sports. He wasn't well known.
You don't have enough
and,
RAM access.
You know, he
your RAM is too low, so your system does not actually
run. Interesting, one day, there was a new student in school. Several weeks
it's not
passed
talking
by.
About
his name was Mark.
It's not talking about hard drive. It's talking about
and Mark was kind of a troubled student. His mother kicked him out, and he went to live with his father.
It only has
and so Mark came
so
to
that's
school,
the problem.
And nobody,
that's the problem.
Nobody wanted to come
here's
to
issue.
Mark.
This is
three
gigs of RAM. This is a 32-bit operating
system.
You cannot upgrade to Windows 10 because Windows 10 is a 64-bit operating system.
Chris invited Mark to his house.
It's a 32-bit operating system.
You know,
only
friended him. Became a friend with Mark. And then one day Mark said to me, I don't understand, Chris. Everybody else avoids me. Why do you?
You cannot upgrade to a.
Windows,
you have to do it when you install.
That,
Windows 10 requires a lot more memory than
his friend Jesus.
So,
and as he
that
gave the gospel to Mark,
other than you have to add
Mark's
more memory.
Heart opened up
but
to the gospel.
The other problem is you have
Jesus Christ as his Savior.
So you have to install a 64.
Later in the spring of that year, that school year, right before prom, those schools do this. They would do it today, high school.
So it's a hardware limitation.
Encourage high school students, you know, the time of the prom,
so
drinking,
you can buy more RAM.
Drunk, or whatever. So you can put a crash car in front of the school. And then they have different speakers show pictures of what can happen. Drink and drive. And so because Mark was a new student, they asked Mark to speak in assembly to the whole school. When Mark's spoke there,
it's going to take half a day.
You know, he told how his life had changed. Because one student, Chris, invited him to home and said, Jesus Christ changed my life. And so Mark gave his testimony. You see how Chris's vision came to pass? It was a God thing, and God brought it about in his way. Chris shared the gospel with one student who accepted Jesus Christ, Mark, and Mark had the opportunity to share the gospel with the whole school assembly. So, as we think about it, God's a good idea and a God idea. The difference between... Then we need to think about this. Allow the vision for God's way and God's timing. You know, Moses had a vision,
Yeah, I don't even use
to rescue God's people from Israel, from Egypt, excuse me. And God gave them his vision, but Moses wanted to do it his way at the time. He saw an Egyptian attack an Israelite, and no one looking, he looked around, he killed that Egyptian. Now, I don't know if Moses had the idea of each day he would kill one. Somehow that would rescue the people from Egypt. But because the news of that got out, he was kicked out of Egypt. He had to flee Egypt and go to the wilderness for 40 years.
Actually, this thing came with 4 gigs
in it. He was in the wilderness.
But I changed
40 years.
I added more.
And yet God was preparing him.
That's a think test.
40 years.
It is a think test.
Because it has to be
this
God's timing.
This like 3 months ago.
As we're going to see in the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah waited for 4 months.
So
whether
it's
4 months or 40 years.
To make it go faster.
We wait. And then what do we do while we're waiting?
We allow the vision
to grow.
As well.
And to become mature.
And it was 64 the operating system.
That's what God does. He grows the vision in us.
And not forgetting.
Yeah, because there's a 4 gig stick already, but it's
fill that vision. Then I want to encourage you to write that. Excuse me, write down
it needs 4 whole gigs. Maybe.
God gives you for this
but
church.
When you have a 32-bit operating.
The vision that God gives you for your family, for your work, or whatever it might be. Write that down and pray about that. God's time, God's way, and pray for that vision. God gives birth to that vision and matures that vision and grows it. I want you to think about this. You look at this picture. I want to ask you, what do you see?
I see people. I see the people. I see people first. I see people in the base. I see people.
Of this, you see what? You see people. You see, a vision has to look and see it from God's perspective. Nehemiah did not look just at the walls of Jerusalem. In the vision that God gave Nehemiah, he saw beyond the walls, he saw the people needed to have their lives rebuilt. So we have to look beyond the wine cup. We have to look beyond the walls. We have to see what God sees from his perspective. People's lives need to be rebuilt. And that's the vision that God gives us. To see things from God's eyes. To see things from God's perspective. And to see God's vision. What do you see? Let's bow in prayer. Before we pray, I want to encourage you to, whether you're young or middle age or older, to pray God would give you a vision, a burden. God would allow you to see what he sees, to see the needs around and how that God can use us to make a difference. To care about enough, to have a burden, to be concerned about it, to let that vision be born in our hearts, and allow that vision to grow, and to see God in his own way and his timing bring it to pass. Lord, I thank you today. Give us a vision for this church, a vision for our families. Vision for whatever you would have us to do. Lay that burden upon our hearts. Break our hearts. Break our hearts. And help us to pray for that vision. And then in your timing, whether it's 4 months or 40 years, in your timing, to see that vision come to pass in your way, it's a God thing. Lord, I pray you bring to pass that vision. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, we thank you